Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see, and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this place we can come, and we can listen to your word. We can worship. We can pray together as a community. We can pray for those in our community, and we just want you to be glorified here today, Lord. We ask that you speak. Give us an open ear to hear what you are saying, Lord. And we just ask for your presence and encounter with you today. We thank you. We love you. In your son's most precious name we pray. Amen. I was reading through this passage yesterday as part of my Bible reading. And the one thing, or the two things that caught my eye about this is really this idea of rest for your souls. And I still don't have my head completely wrapped around that, but fortunately that's what God told me to speak about. So here to talk about rest for your souls. And the other thing that caught my eye was the, in the beginning of verse 16, where Jeremiah talks about the ancient paths, but I'll go off from rest for your souls. So a lot of the times we're trying to find rest for our souls. I'm trying to find some sort of satisfaction in life where there's this longing in our heart for something to be fulfilled. And we as humans know that condition very well. And that's why we go after things, worldly things like, you know, our job. We try to find satisfaction in our jobs. And it's not to say that, you know, our jobs aren't bad. Money isn't bad. You know, wanting companionship isn't bad. But it's when we try to find our rest, our satisfaction in those things alone, as opposed to who gives those things. And that's a lot of things that, as I minister to people, as I talk to people, it's like, what do I, a lot of the questions that come is like, what do I do? What do I do in my life? How do I feel fulfilled? And I think that's part of ministry that actually brings the most frustration to me on two fronts, actually, is one, like, I can't give an answer that's good enough for this person. And two is this person that I'm ministering to, they can't find that satisfaction. Like, nothing ever satisfies. In this search for satisfaction for our souls, we always, but for Christians, we tend to look to a lot of like new ideas. When I say new ideas, I mean like, what is this pastor or what does this speaker have to say that I haven't heard before? I've already heard, what PSAM's preached about, and yeah, it's good, but there's Pastor Benjamin Robinson's coming, and what is he going to say? Or so and so pastor, what is he going to say? And we're always looking for this something new to satisfy this longing, this hunger that we have. But in other ways, outside of our spiritual life, we look at, new technologies. What's a new way that we're going to make money faster? Bitcoin is going through the roof if you're paying attention to that. I've actually registered for a Bitcoin account on a recommendation, but I'm still praying about it. I don't know. Something's not sitting quite right with me in the spirit about it. Sports, they're always looking for the new thing, the next best thing. Who's going to have this potential? They're scouting kids who are like 16 and 17 years old based on their potential. And we're always looking into something new. And this mentality or perspective of trying to find that fresh, something. I've already known this. Yeah, it works, but what's that something new? It doesn't really lend itself to how God wants us to seek him. He doesn't really, I would say, in many ways, he doesn't reveal himself that way. We talk about fresh revelation, right? But when it comes down to like, Lord, what is it that You know, how do we live our lives? You know, how do we seek out peace? How do we seek out rest for our souls? He always refers us, or he refers us back to what he has already said. Now, in this passage, Jeremiah is actually warning the people of Judah about the destruction that is going to come to Jerusalem. At the beginning of chapter 6, if some Bibles will say the title of this particular passage is Destruction of Jerusalem Impending. And after this passage, it talks about the enemy coming from the north. So here you have, in this passage, sandwiched right in the middle of all these warnings of doom and impending destruction, is that, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. See, the Israelites, or not, at that time, no longer Israel was no longer there, but the people of Judah would have seen the destruction of Israel. They would have seen the invaders coming through the land of Judah, and they would have been like, okay, you know, where can we find actual rest, you know, physical rest? Because they would have had invaders coming, trying to take away their land. So they would have been under siege and attack, and they would have been asking questions of themselves, like, what are we going to do? You know, how are we going to get out of this? Is there anything, you know, should we go make allies with another nation? Should we, you know, bow to another god, this and that? And Jeremiah, in the middle of all this, tells the Israelite, or tells the people of Judah, exactly what it is that they should do. And the people of Judah were looking for a new answer. And, you know, similarly for us, we tend to do that as well. You know, we have this mindset where we look for something new, right? As I've been stressing again and again. And what Jeremiah tells the people of Judah is, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths. Ancient meaning this is something that you have already known. This is something that has been said long time ago. It's not something new that you need to know. You already know this. In Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 15, Jeremiah says, "For my people have forgotten me. They burn incense to worthless gods, and they have stumbled from their ways, from the ancient paths to walk in bypaths, not on a highway." And in Jeremiah 32:33, he says, "They have turned their back to," or this is God speaking through Jeremiah, "they have turned their back to me and not their face, though I taught them, teaching again and again. They would not listen and receive instruction." In a lot of his writings, Jeremiah is making the point that God's people had not only forgotten about the good way, but would not listen and receive the word, and as a result are now stumbling. So God has already taught them. God has already revealed to them what it is that they should do. That's why he says it's the ancient paths. When we use a phrase, teaching again and again, I don't know if you use that phrase a lot, but sometimes I use that phrase a lot on my wife, because I'm like, I've told you again and again, which means I've told you before. You already know this, right? And I might get in trouble for saying that to her. It's like, you're being so mean to me. You know, but the point is, we already know a lot of what to do. We already have that wisdom. We've heard countless sermons, right? But really, it's up to us to remember. And that's the point that Jeremiah is making in the beginning of verse 16, is, you know, remember. You already know. You are the people of God. He has already taught you. He has taught you everything that you need to know. Remember what it is. Remember what the good way is and walk in it. He's telling the people of Judah, you want rest for your soul? You want peace? You want these invaders to go away? You know exactly what you need to do. Right? You need to, you know, for them, you need to stop bowing down to foreign gods. You need to stop worshiping other gods that have no power. And you need to repent and turn back to me. You already know what to do. It's very, very clear in the book of the law what it is the Israelites were supposed to do. And yet the Israelites said, but at the end of verse 16, but they said, we will not walk in it. So it's not just good enough for us to remember what God has said. We also need to walk in it as well. Once we know where the good way is, we need to take it, right? When we walk in the ancient paths, that is where the wisdom of God is. And when we do that, our way will prosper. We won't stumble, and rather we will get elevated to the highway. Going back to Jeremiah 18:15, for my people have forgotten me, they burn incense to worthless gods, and have stumbled from their ways, from the ancient paths, right? Ancient paths, again, the wisdom of God. They have stumbled from their ways, from the ancient paths, to walk in bypaths, not on a highway. So when we walk according to God, we get elevated to this kind of higher plane. It doesn't mean that we get everything that we want, or we get to the destination that we want faster, but we have this elevated roadway that we get to walk, that we get to travel on. Consider the use of a highway. It gets you from point A to point B faster. I used to live in Toronto, so you can debate whether or not highways actually make it easier to travel, because there's so much traffic in Toronto. But highways as a concept work pretty well as a concept, right? Realistically, maybe not so much. But highways, they elevate you above city traffic, above traffic lights. Conceptually, they should actually remove traffic from the equation. But that's kind of what God is saying. These people of Israel, they have forgotten what the ancient paths, what the highway, what the good way is. And yet they've decided to move off the highway and into, the bypaths, the back alleys, the city streets full of potholes. And, that they're delaying, they're delaying their journey. They're taking longer time to get to that point B where God wants them to be. They're not walking according to God's purposes. And this is pretty clear in this passage, right? Because they're not walking, because they're not walking according to what God has told them from the ancient days, from the beginning, they will not find rest for their souls. The people of Judah said, "We will not walk in it." For whatever reason, could be pride, could be that, maybe sometimes we have this attitude as well, where we hear this word, where someone prays over us, where we receive this, like, "Hey, I just want you to know that Jesus loves you." I'm like, "Yeah, I know that," right? And it's not when we receive, right? Even when we pray, what if God tells you, "I just want you to pray for this person, Jesus loves you," or "God loves you," or "I want you to know that God wants you to have the love of the Father." Like, everybody knows that. But when we have that mentality, we're rejecting what God has already told us from old, the wisdom that is of old, the ancient paths, and we're looking for something new. "Lord, give me something really awesome to tell this person that will knock their socks off, right? And that will really make an impact on their life." Yeah, it's great to want this person to be blessed, but what if God says, "No, I just want you to say that God loves you"? Because what if for this other person, what they really need to hear is, "God loves me," and the person receiving is like, "No, I want something else." Right? God, a lot of times when we look for direction in life, it's like, What am I supposed to do, God?" I'm like, God is like, "I've already told you. You just need to do this." I'm like, "No." And he needs to keep hammering into us over and over again. He needs to repeat it to us so that we understand it. See, when we are able to walk according to his ancient wisdom or his ancient paths and live out and really obey what he has told us, obey what we know, then we are able to find peace. Jeremiah says, "Stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls." So finding rest is dependent on us walking in it and obeying. When Jesus, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, let me turn there. When he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus is actually quoting directly from Jeremiah here. You will find rest for your souls. Now, there's two things that are important in what Jesus says here. One is, learn from me, right? For I am gentle and humble in heart. Right? In order for us to learn, we actually need to humble ourselves. A lot of times where like someone tells us something, we're like, yeah, that's okay. Maybe that works for you, but not for me. You don't understand me. What do you know about my situation? Is your situation like this and this and this? See, a lot of that comes from a place of pride and not wanting to really humble ourselves and hear what God is saying through this person, how God is trying to instruct us. So we need to humble ourselves, like Jesus was humble and how he was gentle. Here we learn from him. And the second thing is this idea of being yoked. Right? A lot of the times, or when I was growing up, I had this conception, or this idea that this verse really meant that Jesus was going to take my burdens and my yoke and put it on him. And I'm like, I'm scot-free. Right? That's what it means to be, you know, my yoke is, that's what it means when Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm like, oh, that means Jesus is going to take what's his and give it to me and take my, what's mine and give it to, and place it upon himself. And yes, in some ways, I mean, that is true. But this idea of yoke doesn't mean that I'm by myself. When Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, it means that we are yoked together, that we are walking in this together. It's not that I'm by myself. That's why when the Bible talks about do not be yoked with unbelievers, right? It doesn't mean that, or what it means is that you are together with an unbeliever, right? You are walking side by side. But for cows that are yoked together, if one is not stronger, but one is walking at a different pace than the other, then you can't walk in a straight line. And whoever's tilling the soil will have a heck of a time trying to do their task. So what Jesus really means when he says, you know, take my yoke is yoke yourself to me, partner with me, and you will find rest for your souls. And really, that's what Jeremiah is saying here. Ask for the ancient paths, right? Know what God is saying. Know God's purposes and join with him in his purposes. And this is something that we learned in EG. What is God's purpose? Not what is God's purpose for me, but what is God's purpose, period. Join with him and you will find rest for your souls. See, it's only when we are able to walk in the purposes of God, not what does God have in mind for me or in store for me, but just his purposes, that we will truly find rest. For that is how we were created. See, God created us, right? God created us to work, yes. But that work should not be, in some ways, stressful. Should not be devoid of satisfaction. Because he created us to work for his purposes, right? And God was at rest. You notice in Genesis, going a little bit long here. You notice in Genesis, after he creates everything, okay, the sixth day, there's morning and there's night and there's sixth day. And then on the seventh day. I don't know if, you know, this is something that I noticed. You know, you can go back and think about it. But at the end of that creation account, the Bible actually never says that there was an end to the seventh day. Right, so God is continually at rest. And that is where he wants us to be as well. Yes, we are to work, right? Because we have a purpose. So being at rest doesn't mean we sit and we enjoy creation and, you know, angels come and feeds us grapes and all that. But we are to work. But that work should fill us with rest, you know, because we are with God. So I think one thing as a barometer that you can use to see, you know, is this what God's purpose is? Is this what God's plan is? Am I applying the right, you know, knowledge or the right wisdom? Do you find yourself at rest at what you're doing, at whatever the circumstances, right? Even though the circumstance is really bad, even though the situation at work is bad and, you know, there's no promotion or they're cutting headcount and, you know, you might be next on the block. Even in those situations, are you able to, you know, praise God? Are you able to say, Lord, even though I feel all these things and my circumstance is telling me what my reality might be, I can still look to you and trust in you. I can still find rest in you. And if you can, you know, that's a good barometer. Like, yeah, I am partnering in his purposes. I am finding rest. I am, you know, walking where the good way is. So as Aaron comes up and leads us into worship, just let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Now, I think the fact that you're out at EMP today, doesn't mean that, actually, no, you're out at EMP today because you want to be at rest. And I think that as you come out, you're really honoring God. You're really standing by the way and asking for the ancient paths. Right? And I think that's God's message for you today. That's Holy Spirit saying, you are standing and you are seeking. And because you are seeking, I will come and I will meet you and I will reveal to you my purposes. I will reveal to you my will. And he's encouraging you that you will be able to walk in. The fact that you're already here, that is an encouragement that you will walk in it when he reveals it to you. That as he makes his picture more and more clear to you, that you will have that strength to walk in it. And in that, you will find rest.
The King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from, oh, he is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life, oh, he is my song. Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from, oh, he is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life, oh, he is my song. You are good, you're good. Oh, you are good, you're good. Oh, you are good, you're good. Oh, you are good, you're good. Let the King of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves, oh, he is my song. Let the King of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days, oh, he is my song. Yes, you are good. You're good, oh, you are good, you're good, oh, you are good, you're good, oh. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. 'Cause you are good, you're good. The king of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, he is my.
Yeah, just as we were singing, I was really drawn to the chorus where the song says, "You are good." Right? And Jeremiah later says that, you know, I have plans to prosper you. And he says this to the people of Judah in the midst of their captivity, that despite your circumstance, despite what your reality no, may be, I still am good and I will prosper you. And so even in the harshest, the worst of circumstances, we can still find rest. We can still find peace, because that is the peace of God. And so, Father, we just I lift up all my brothers and sisters to you today, everyone that is listening, that it's in the midst of our circumstance that we can find rest for our souls, that we can look to you and remember what you have told us, remember what you have taught us, that we will remember it and we will walk it out, that we will humble ourselves and come before you and say, lead us, lead me. So we thank you for your word, God. We thank you for your reminder, your constant reminders to us, the constant reminder of your love and how you want us to be free, how you want us just to live this life in abundance, God. So we thank you. Turning to our community prayer focus, let's pray for those who have cancer and are undergoing chemo and radiation therapy and just surgery as well. Let's pray for quick recovery from the surgery, as well as just continue praying for those who have cancer. Let's also pray for those who are sick and friends and family of our community that have yet to know Jesus. And let's just ask for opportunities for our friends to hear the word of Christ. Let's pray for those in our community that are suffering from various infirmities. Pray for those in our community looking for jobs. Pray for God to open up doors and give them wisdom and discernment as they go through this process. Turning to our Wednesday morning prayer focus, let's pray for China, for our church in Beijing, Pastor Hansu, Chloe. So also pray for the Chong family, Matt and Nate's parents, Edie Clark, and all the churches in China, especially with the upcoming law changes in the beginning of next year. Let's really pray for God's covering over the churches and just trust in what He's doing in China right now. Pray for the board, PSAM, Kiwan, Brian, Sandro, Max, Jackie, Connie, Mon. Let's pray that as they make decisions for the church, as they just discuss what's going on in the church, that they're really led by the Holy Spirit and that they're open to how He is moving. Just obey what the Holy Spirit is instructing them to do. Pray for the fellowship ministries, Yahweh. They actually had the retreat and it was awesome. So praise God for that. Let's also pray for Single Life Workshop. They're going to be starting in January. So just pray for people to come and join and truly want deeper relationships and not, you know, dating relationships, but relationships in general. Let's pray for men's ministry, Monday morning prayer, PD, and men's fraternity. PD and men's fraternity will be starting in the new year, in January, February sometime. So let's pray for people to sign up for that as well. As well as women's ministry, the Lift and Discipleship. Discipleship will be starting in March. So just pray for people to be excited and to really want deeper relationships with one another. So pray for SP 2.0, our new building and resources for this new building. Also the benefactor that has been promised, as well as our vision fund that the people administering it will do it wisely. Let's also pray for our sixth floor and third floor renovations. As it stands right now, sixth floor is looking to be completed end of Jan, beginning of Feb. So let's pray for that, that you know God really protects us and just guides everyone that is involved with this project. And last but not least, let's pray for our house churches tonight. Blue Pool, Cimbria, Causeway Bay, East Enders, House to House, Island, Lido, Lion Rock, New Conduit, Robin Hood, TSC. Just pray that people really come together and open up their lives and share and just really live out their lives together. Father, we thank you. We thank you for Jesus, that that he gives us this offer to be yoked to him, to be yoked together. We thank you that in that we can find rest, that in Jesus we can find rest. And so, Lord, help us remember what Jesus has taught us, what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. And help us walk out those instructions, Father. We thank you, God. We thank you for this place. We thank you for the time of worship, Lord. And just be with us today. We thank you for these things in your Son's most precious name. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time.